When Jesus ascended into heaven, he left behind many things. He left behind a great legacy. He left behind a great example of a loving person and how he wants us to live. But most of all, the greatest gift that Jesus left behind to us was a to-do list. He did not leave a to-do list in order to burden us. He gave us a to-do list in order to expand his kingdom. We all know about these to-do lists. We may not have them written down. They may be in our minds. But somewhere we all have these to-do lists. If your desk is like my desk, it's full of these little post-it notes all over the place. You can't even see the desk itself. In some cases, we have what we call honey-do lists. The to-do list that we're supposed to do when we have the time or we get a day off. And sometimes those lists tend to be a burden to us because we're always living our lives with that mentality that our work is never done. And it is never done. But it is a great gift that he's given us, because if we did not have this to-do list, you can imagine on any given Sunday the amount of messages on what we're supposed to be doing as Christians and how they would vary. And one person telling us we're supposed to be doing this, another person we're supposed to be doing this. And I imagine the disciples, had Jesus not done this, would have also been asking themselves, what do we do now when Jesus ascended into heaven? This is a gift because also there is the danger of becoming bored had Jesus not given us this commandment, this commission. Bored like some of our kids, you know, shortly after school's out for the summer, the second day, they're wandering around the house. I'm bored. What do I do now? And of course, if you've ever been a parent, you give them a list. Well, why don't you go do this? And sadly, in a lot of cases, they curl up their noses and end up wandering for the rest of the day. In our text today, there is a direct command given by Jesus himself with a purpose in mind. This list contains only one item to be accomplished, and that is to make disciples. To make disciples. The command is to go, teach, and baptize, and the purpose for that is to make disciples. Now, a disciple is a learner or a pupil, okay? In the Bible, we know a disciple biblically as a follower of Jesus Christ. A pupil or a learner of Jesus was called a disciple. And Jesus was speaking to these disciples when he gave his great command. But there's some important notes I want to make today on this text, because we tend to get a little confused about this at times. First of all, we have to ask the question, who's giving the command? Secondly, who is the command directed to? And thirdly, what should those to whom the command is directed do now? First of all, we have to understand the purpose of Matthew's Gospel. If you ever read Matthew's Gospel, you start at the very beginning, and what do you have? You have a genealogy of Jesus. In other words, what Matthew is trying to do, he's trying to teach all of his readers that Jesus is truly the divine Messiah and the King that was promised in the Old Testament. And he proves that through the genealogy down through the years, that Jesus is truly the son of David. This is the purpose of Matthew's Gospel, that Jesus the King is the Messiah that was promised in the Old Testament. And we have to avoid the temptation here to overlook the text's purpose. Notice what Jesus says. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. What do we get from that? We glean from that Jesus is truly the King of Kings. He has all sovereign authority. He doesn't say some authority. He doesn't say the authority to do this or that. He says all authority has been given to me. This resurrected Jesus even has authority now over death and the grave. Now I want to tell you, that's authority. But we have to understand this great commission doesn't start with us. It starts with Jesus being the authority and the power. This was a fulfillment of the prophetic vision that Daniel was given in Daniel chapter 7. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, speaking of a human, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. That was Daniel's vision, and this was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. This command here was given in a post-resurrection appearance in order to establish Christ's authority over all things and all peoples, including you and I today. We cannot do anything whatsoever until we stop and consider who our authority is before we walk out the door to go serve Him or do anything for the kingdom of God or the church. First, we must stop and say to ourselves, I have to remember who my authority is. And our authority is Jesus, the resurrected Christ. Secondly, one could say that this command was directed to the original disciples. That this commission was directed to those original disciples. And that would be immediately true, but there is never a time when the disciples were directed to stop doing this. Plus, if Jesus was to be with them till the end of the age, like he says, surely the disciples wouldn't live to see the end of the age that he was talking about. So he had to be speaking to his disciples then and his disciples in general throughout time. Because Jesus describes this end of the age earlier in Matthew's Gospel as a time when this great harvest would take place. And the evildoers would be weeded out by his angels and thrown into the fire. You can find it in Matthew 13. Jesus also went on in Matthew's Gospel to describe this time as a time when he would come back on the clouds of the sky with power and glory. Now, we know this hasn't happened yet. So if he says he'll be with his disciples to the end of the age, he must be talking about all of his disciples throughout time, even today, until he does come back at the rapture and glory. So the King of Kings is giving the command. He's giving it to his disciples then and now. And thirdly, we say, well, what should his disciples do now? And the answer is to make more learners or pupils of Jesus Christ. This is the great commission to the church today. This is our task. This is our to-do list. And he tells us how we are to go about it. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. First of all, he's commanding the teaching of all people to obey Christ. You cannot be a follower of Christ until you learn and willingly obey Christ. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Everything the King of Kings has commanded is to be obeyed by his disciples. And if you don't obey them, you are not a disciple. But the Great Commission is to teach people to obey Christ. It's not to go out and show everybody love. Let's all sit down and have a cup of tea and everything's good to go. It's not to just go and go on a mission trip. It's not to just go and serve the local food bank. It's to teach people to obey Christ. And that happens through all those other avenues. You understand what I'm saying? We go out into the world to teach people to obey Christ. That is our number one goal. How we do that differs widely from person to person. But our number one goal is to teach people to obey Christ. Everywhere we go, that is number one on our minds, teaching people to obey Christ. Secondly, baptizing. Baptize into the Church of Jesus Christ all who become pupils or learners of Jesus. Now, some of you are thinking, well, all this is really the minister's job. And though baptizing is something that's administered by the church, there's an encouragement that needs to be administered by other believers within the church. So it's everyone's job as disciples. And then there's the teaching. This is the hard part. This is the stumbling block for many followers of Christ today, is the teaching. I can't teach. I'm not a teacher. That's not my gift. I don't know my Bible well enough. I want to tell you something. These men didn't know their Bible well enough either. First of all, they didn't have the New Testament. And second of all, they didn't know much, if anything, at all about the Old Testament. That's the key. We don't have to have intellect. We have to have the risen Christ in our hearts. Because what does teaching involve? It involves pointing and directing. Look at the board, class. Directing them in the right way. Teacher, how do I do this? Well, you add one and one and it equals two. It involves impacting lives with compassion, showing love and acceptance for others. It involves transferring knowledge and challenging the mind. That's what teaching involves. If we're not involved in doing that, the student's not going to learn and they're not going to advance, right? And this isn't hard to do. This isn't hard to do. How many of you have no problem telling someone else, maybe telling your kids, not to drive fast down the road or not to text and drive because you could have an accident and get killed? How do you know that? You're transferring knowledge because you've seen it happen. Maybe it's happened that you've had an accident yourself. You see what I'm saying? Every one of us has something to teach the world about Jesus Christ based on your experience, transferring the knowledge that when I didn't follow Christ, I ended up here. When I followed Christ, I ended up here. Impacting lives by sharing the love of Christ and challenging the minds of everyone. Do you really think that's the right thing to do? To go over there and to drive up and down the road at night and smash mailboxes? Do you really think this is the right thing to do? To do donuts in the church parking lot? Do you really think that's the right thing to do? To light up those one of those little things that we roll up so that we can feel really good? You see, we challenge the minds of people. I heard an interesting story this week about a lady who really challenged our country and our world. There was a gay couple that was going to be married. Let me rephrase that. They were not going to be married. They were going to be joined. Because marriage, biblically, is between a man and a woman. They were going to be joined, so they went to a florist and asked the florist if she would provide the flowers for the ceremony. And you know what she told them? I can't, because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And I don't believe in what you're doing. Of course, you know what kind of can of worms that opened up. And now she's being taken to court. Not based on her religious beliefs, because we know we have freedom of religion. She's being taken to court based on her denial of another human being her services. And all she was doing was challenging the minds of people. Let's go on here a little bit. First of all, the teaching must be Christ-centered. Teaching everything Christ has commanded us to do. And it also must be consequence-oriented. Because when we teach about Jesus, we teach about all that Jesus commanded us to do, and we also teach that if we don't obey Him and don't do these, there are going to be consequences. And we are going to suffer them. That's what the Bible teaches. And if you're in doubt what He has commanded us or the consequences for not following Him, all you got to do is open this up and read the red. It's in red for us. Jesus for Dummies. Read the red first of all, and then share your own personal experience. And we find out, like Matthew talks about the sheep and the goats, when that day comes and Jesus is going to sit down and separate the sheep from the goats. He won't say to everybody, sure, come on in, I love you all. He's going to say, nope, there's some of you I love, but you're not coming in. And He's going to separate them. Or how about when the weeds are separated from the good wheat and the weeds are thrown into the fire? Or maybe the parable of the talents, when the man went on the journey and he trusted the men with talents. and to the one who did nothing, nothing with the talents. He said, get away from me. And he said he'd be cast out where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Must be Christ-centered, must be consequence-oriented. Teaching to obey all Christ commanded, and teaching about the consequences if we don't. The reason the Church of Jesus Christ in general today is losing members and people are attracted to other religions and other ways, especially in the United Methodist Church, thousands and thousands lost over the last few years. And the reason is that we have forgotten our commission and our purpose. We have become secular humanists in our preaching and our teaching, that it's all good. And folks, it is not all good. It was not all good in Jesus' day. It is not all good now. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. We have forgotten our commission and our purpose to teach people to obey Jesus for the building of His kingdom. And He is the King. He admitted it to Pilate when Pilate said, oh, so you are a king. He said, yes, it is as you say. Being Christian has become more about who I am and what I'm doing than whether I am committedly doing what my King has commanded me, whether I like that or not. I got a good example of this the other day as I was walking out in the game lands by one of the swamp areas. And I noticed, many of you have probably seen this, there were old logs partially submerged in the water. And on these logs lined up like people on Sunday morning in the pews were turtles. Lined up on the logs. All lined up in their place. Sunning themselves. Feeling good. Man, this feels good. I could sit here all day. This just feels so great on me. But they were doing nothing. Nothing. I would have rather have been a member of the Church of the Ducks because they were swimming around. They were active. They were coming at the enemy, my dog Gracie, and trying to chase her away. They were busy. Together. Working together. Always moving. Always involved. Rather than being like a bunch of turtles sitting on a log doing nothing but sunning themselves. The command is to go. The King James Version says, go ye, go you, you go. And what this implies to us in the Greek that it was written is to traverse or to travel or to depart in the sense of dying and going forth on a journey. In other words, we are saying, according to what Jesus tells us to do, to go, is that we are no longer staying or sitting on the same log. We're going to another place to be about the business of making disciples. When we teach and baptize others into our fellowship, we make disciples and the church grows. Christ's kingdom expands to the ends of the earth, to the ends of the country, to the ends of the state, to the ends of the county, to the ends of our town and our community, to the ends of our homes, to the ends of our schools, businesses, and workplaces, and more importantly, to the ends of our families. Yeah, we're going to get rejected. We're going to get rejected. Jesus was rejected. Every disciple from that day till now has been rejected in one way or another. But that cannot stop us from doing what Jesus has called us to do, because the King with all authority has commanded us to do this. I remember there was a popular kids movie here a few years ago. I'm not quite sure of the title. Maybe some of you younger people will remember, where the vultures were sitting up in the trees and they sat there and they were doing nothing. And the sad part of it was, one said to the other, hey now, what you want to do? And the other one would say, I don't know, what you want to do? And the other one would say, I don't know, what you want to do? They spent so much time trying to figure out what to do that nothing got done. Nothing got done. There's so much for us to be doing about the Lord's business. Teaching others to obey Christ. Baptizing into the Church of Jesus Christ. So many places that we can be involved. Little things, big things. It does not matter. Little is much when God's in it. We sang the song. It to open up today. God takes the little mustard seed and grows it into a great thing. But we cannot be sitting on the log waiting for Him to come back, saying, oh, He might come back today, I'm just going to chill out. Oh, it feels so good here. I'm comfortable right where I'm at. I had someone say to me one day when I was challenging them to go on in ministry, you don't understand, I'm comfortable right where I'm at. Oh, man, imagine how Jesus must have felt. We're not supposed to be comfortable. We are supposed to be busy about the Lord's work. And we all have something to teach someone, to tell them, to share with them. This is what we do now. Christ is resurrected. He lives in us. He'll be with us to the end of the age. He's the King of Kings who commands His followers to build His kingdom. And the answer to the question, what do we do till He comes back? We get busy making disciples or other followers of Jesus because He commands us to. I don't know what way He's called you to do that, but I know you've got talents and gifts, some that I don't have, some that somebody else doesn't have. But we should be using them. Let me give you one quick little example and then I'm done. I learned this past week. I knew there was a few ladies in this church and our parish that sew. I learned this past week that they are sewing vests for our vacation Bible school. The theme is a Western theme. They're sewing vests to give to every child that comes in to this church for vacation Bible school. Hopefully 70 or more every single day. Using that gift to make followers of Jesus. Teaching them in that special way about Jesus. What do we do now? We get off the log and we get about our business. Opening our Bibles, learning what Jesus has commanded us, and teaching others the same, to obey Him because He commands us to. Lord our God, sometimes teaching is hard, obeying is hard, but it's Your command that we do this while You are away from us till someday You come back. We are Your people, Your followers, Your disciples. We are doing Your work as if You Yourself were here. I pray that that work bears much fruit. I pray that this church continues to grow. I pray that You bring people into this church that they might believe and become disciples of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that You strengthen us to teach others to obey Christ, no matter what the cost, that we might do it to please our King. In His name, amen. Let's ask the Lord to make us that blessing as we turn to 670 and stand and sing.